Acts chapter 13 this evening. Acts chapter 13. A lot of church members remind me of a California man named Larry Walters. One day, Larry went to an Army-Navy surplus store and bought 75 used weather balloons. He took those weather balloons home, inflated them, and attached them to a lawn chair he bought from Sears Roebuck and Company. He tied that lawn chair to the bed of his pickup truck, and with several of his buddies watching, he climbed up into the chair and had one of his buddies untie the rope. Larry carried nothing with him on his journey but a peanut butter sandwich, a BB gun, and a six-pack of beer. Larry's hope was that he would lazily float just a bit above the tree line and get a new perspective of his neighborhood. And when he was ready to come down, he would use the BB gun to shoot some of those balloons, and he would have a safe and gentle landing. Well, as soon as his buddy untied that rope, Larry shot into the air like a cannon. He got so panicked, he was too afraid to pop any of the balloons. He did, however, have a few beers, it says. 2.5 hours later, the Los Angeles International Airport reported an unidentified flying object flying at 16,000 feet above LAX. It was Lawn Chair Larry. He was first seen by the pilot of a 737 who radioed in and said, "Well, I see what looks like a man sitting perfectly still, and is it a lawn chair? And I think he's holding a rifle." A SWAT helicopter came to the rescue. They lassoed Larry, who had passed out at about 2,000 feet, and guided him to the ground. When he got to the ground, a host of local media was there, and they asked Larry 3 questions. "Larry, were you scared?" Larry replied, "Yes." "Larry, would you do it again?" Larry replied, "No." "Larry, why did you do it?" And here's what Larry Walters said: "I just got tired of sitting around." Now, I know a lot of people in the Western world, and I know a lot of Christians who are just like Lawn Chair Larry. They're bored. They're tired of sitting around. Tired of mundane, mediocre living. Tired of hours of TV where they watch other people live interesting lives. I talk to Christians all the time who are tired of just going to church on Sunday, fellowshipping with a few friends, hearing a refreshing message, and then going home. Churches where the agenda seems to be no bigger than putting on an entertaining service or hosting social gatherings for their memberships. I think there's something inside of most of us that says, "I want to be part of something bigger than myself. I want my life to count for something. I don't just want to sit around until I die." One of the reasons that I'm always talking to you about days like Open House Sunday, or giving you opportunities to get involved in ministry at public schools or refugee homes or with addicts or the food pantry, one of the reasons I'm always trying to get you involved in outreach and ministry is that I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a mission worth living for and a mission worth dying for. The Lord Jesus gave your life meaning. He gave your life purpose when He included you in His mission. And His mission is that every follower of Christ would make disciples, and that every man, woman, boy, and girl in our generation would hear a clear presentation of the gospel message before they die and go to hell. And I've often told you that mission is not just part of the church. That mission is the purpose of the church. A church without a mission is not a church. A church without a mission is just a group of disobedient Christians who are hanging out. So the Lord Jesus Christ has given us something to do in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us a mission. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us a purpose. And it's time we stop sitting around and we get to it. I want to speak to you tonight on one aspect of the mission. It's an aspect of the mission that is integrally important to the plan, but it is almost totally neglected by most churches. I want to speak to you tonight on becoming a sending church. Becoming a sending church. Let's look at the first ever sending church, the church at Antioch, Acts chapter 13, and we'll study tonight verses 1 through 4. Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. I would hope that most of the folks on a Sunday evening crowd would recognize the tremendous impact that those four verses have made in human history. The result of these verses and the sending of Paul and Barnabas would mean no less than the evangelism of the Western world. Amen. And it is no exaggeration to say that the decisions of the leaders of the church in Antioch to become a sending church and not just sit around changed the world and led directly to the salvation of many of the people sitting in this room in 2017. If you grew up in the Western world, you were reached because of what happened at the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. If you were reached by someone that was reached by someone in the Western world, it was because of what happened at the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And I want you to know, Worth Baptist Church, there is no way to be a significant church in the plan of God without being a sending church. A significant church is a sending church. So tonight I want to give you five simple, short statements about sending churches. Four of them have to do with the things that precede sending, and then I'll give you one statement about sending itself. And here's what I want to ask you as I preach tonight, and I want you to ask yourself, is God sending me and or my family? Every person here in light of Acts chapter 13 needs to wrestle with that. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how deep your roots are in Fort Worth, Texas. Acts 13 demands that every person in this room would ask, is God sending me? Another question that we need to ask is, how can I be more involved in sending others? How can I be more involved in creating a sending culture in the church where I attend? Amen. So let's make just a few statements about Acts chapter 13. Number one, we see from the church at Antioch that reaching and growing always precedes sending. Reaching and growing always precedes sending. We looked a few weeks ago at some of the incredible things that happened in the church at Antioch. Look back with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, just a refresher tonight. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Here's how this church started. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. One of the things you need to know about the church at Antioch was that this was a church that was flat after souls. The hand of the Lord was upon them. A great number was believing and turning to the Lord. I want you to know, folks, that we have no right to expect the hand of the Lord to be on our church if we are ignoring the one thing that He has commanded us to do. The Great Commission is about more than winning souls, but is never less than winning souls. That's where everything begins. That's why we're having open house next Sunday. It's not because we just want to spend thousands of dollars renting tents and tables and chairs. It's not because we just want to spend thousands of dollars to feed our members a barbecue lunch. We are having Open House Sunday because it is our primary responsibility as a church to reach lost men, lost women, lost boys, and lost girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe this, when you find a church that is sold out to the mission of reaching souls, the hand of the Lord will be upon them, and a great number of people will believe and turn unto the Lord. This was a church that was passionate about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only did they reach the lost, they grew and developed the saved. Look at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Here's what happened. When Barnabas came from Jerusalem to Antioch, he saw a multitude of new Christians. They certainly had a zeal to win people to Christ, but they needed to be developed and discipled. So Barnabas made a trip from Antioch to Tarsus to seek out Saul and bring him back to Antioch. And for an entire year, Barnabas poured himself into the life of Saul. He taught Saul. He encouraged him in his walk in the Lord. And Saul and Barnabas devoted themselves to the teaching of the saints so that those saints in Antioch could reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if Barnabas hadn't been interested in discipleship, he would have never made the trip to Tarsus to seek Saul. And if Saul never came to Antioch, do you recognize that he would have never been sent on his missionary journey in Acts chapter 13? Barnabas poured his life into Saul, and Saul poured his life into the mission. There is a principle here. Before you can deploy leaders, you must first develop leaders. Before you can deploy leaders, you must first develop leaders. So let me ask you, follower of Christ, who are you developing? What man, what woman, what teenager, what boy, what girl are you pouring your life into so they can pour their lives into the mission? Are you and I coming to church to sit around, or are we coming to church to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and grow them so that those people might be sent? Before we can become a sending church that reaches the nations, we have to be passionate about reaching the lost and growing the saved. Reaching and growing always precedes sending. Number two, desperation for the spread of the gospel precedes sending. Desperation for the spread of the gospel precedes sending. And you need to put yourself in the sandals of these leaders of the church at Antioch. Things are going pretty well for them. Souls are being saved. People are being baptized. They have a great reputation in the community. In fact, they were first called Christians in Antioch. They have a great pastoral staff. Can you imagine having Barnabas and Paul on the pastoral staff of your church? Their buildings are packed. If they had parking lots, their parking lots would be packed. And I'm sure there was a temptation for the church at Antioch to sit back, to enjoy their growth, to enjoy their influence in their city and not think much about the other cities that had no access to the gospel. They had a large ministry. It would have been easy for them to slip into maintenance mode or to focus all their resources on simply sustaining the gains they already had. Can you see the danger in that? I believe that we find ourselves here at Worth Baptist Church in what I'm calling an Antioch moment. Our building is full on most Sunday mornings. Our parking lots are packed. We have a solid staff, good men, and we are reaching people. We're growing people. And we can continue as we're going if we want to. We can do nothing but maintain the gains God has already given and just sustain what is already happening without a lot of sacrifice. I don't think it honors the Lord, though, when a church goes into maintenance mode. And we are on the precipice as a church family of some major decisions that will bring some inconvenience to our lives and will cause us to make some major sacrifices. And so I want to ask you, church family, are we going to settle for maintenance or are we going to sacrifice for mission? Are we going to settle for maintenance or are we going to sacrifice for mission? Are we going to be desperate for the spread of the gospel? Or are we simply going to sustain what has already been done in the 63 years of our church's history? Have we already experienced the greatest days of God's blessing? Have we already experienced the high number in souls saved and baptized? Or are these days simply going to be the beginning of a great movement of God in the reaching of many more people for the glory of Jesus Christ? Are we as a church desperate for the spread of the gospel? We answer that question every day as individuals by the way we witness, by the way we live our lives, and we will answer that church as that question as a church family in the days ahead as we arrive at our Antioch moment and we decide if we're going to stay comfortable and sustain and maintain or whether we are going to seek expansion and growth and further blessing of God. A desperation for the spread of the gospel always precedes sending. Number three, worship, fasting, and prayer precede sending. Look again at the beginning of Acts chapter 13, if you would. You have all these leaders that are gathered together. This is, I think, the pastoral staff of the church at Antioch. And look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, and that word minister comes from the word we get our English word liturgy from. They were worshiping literally. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." So here's a question. What did this church do in their Antioch moment? Did they immediately resort to man-made schemes? Did they do what Barnabas thought best? Did they immediately start making their plans to build larger buildings so they could become the first big box megachurch in church history? How many of you realize that if they had taken the church growth strategy that so many churches are taking in our world today, that no one in the Western world would have ever gotten the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? They decided that they were going to pray, they were going to seek God's face, they were going to fast and let God tell them what should come next. And when you fast for something, when you go without food, when you spend hours on your knees in prayer, that shows some desperation, doesn't it? It also shows dependence on God. Because it is ultimately up to God to direct His mission. And He does that only as His people pray and seek His face. I hope you will never forget that it was a prayer meeting that started the mission movement. They didn't get around and say, "Where should we go next?" They prayed and sought God's face. And in every generation, if you will study church history, it has been prayer that birthed mission. This is the missing ingredient, and this is the reason we fail to send. Someone noticed an interesting progression. Stay with me here mentally, because I'll make application here in just a moment. Someone said, "For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the war was lost. For want of a war, the kingdom was lost." And it all started with just one nail. Here's what's happening in Acts chapter 13. Don't miss it. Because of a prayer meeting, the Spirit spoke. And because the Spirit spoke, apostles were sent. Because apostles were sent, churches were planted. And because churches were planted, missionaries were sent to other places. And because missionaries were sent, their part of the world was reached. Do you see how it all begins with desperation and prayer? And without the beginning, we'll never get the ending. The Holy Spirit didn't speak to leaders while they were watching TV. They weren't studying the stock market. They were desperate and focused on getting a hold of God. They were not sitting around. They were seeking God's face. What's next, Jesus? We've reached Antioch. What's the next city? Show us, direct us, lead us, guide us. We're desperate for your leadership. Worship, fasting, and prayer always precedes mission. Number four, leaders listening to the Holy Spirit always precedes sending. The Holy Spirit said to them, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." I'm going to tell you something, folks. That is not what they expected when they started praying. That's not what they thought God was going to say. It's probably not what they even wanted. Paul and Barnabas were no normal members of their church. They were the leaders of their church. And from Barnabas and Paul's perspective, I'm sure there was a big part of them that didn't want to leave the growing, thriving church at Antioch. Think about the things that they would experience on these missionary journeys. Think about the stonings. Think about the scourgings. Think about the nights spent in jail. Think about the nights spent in the deep. They knew if they left Antioch, there was going to be a price to pay for that. Do you think it was a good church growth strategy for the church at Antioch to wave bye-bye to two talented and gifted leaders like Barnabas and Paul? No, those are the kind of people that when you send them away, there's a hole. Those are the kind of people that you cannot replace. It wasn't good, at least from a fleshly perspective, for Barnabas and Paul to go. And it wasn't good from a fleshly perspective for the church at Antioch to send them away. So why would they leave and why would the church send them? Listen, because that's what the Holy Spirit said to do. Because that's what the Holy Spirit said to do. And they were listening. It was not God's intention that all the leaders in Antioch would stay in Antioch. It was God's intention that some of the leaders in Antioch would leave to reproduce that great church in other places. And listen to me tonight. I'm giving you my vision for our church. I hope you get this. It is not God's intention that all of our staff members would stay long term. It's not God's intention that all of our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, our young people, our retirees would stay here in Fort Worth. And if we would listen to the Holy Spirit, we would see that it is His intention that some of us, maybe many of us, would leave this good church and reproduce this good church in places without a good church. That's how the mission worked. They changed the world not by sitting. They changed the world not by staying. They changed the world by going. They changed the world by sending. And I want to ask you tonight, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Because I believe what God wants most from Worth Baptist Church is to take some developed leaders from this place and send them to a place with no good church. Are you listening? One more thing to say. Number five, for the gospel to spread, churches must send. For the gospel to spread, churches must send. There is no other way. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something tonight you've probably never gotten to do in church before. I want you to turn to the back of your Bible and look at the maps. There's probably in the back of your Bible a map of Paul's missionary journeys. Maybe the first one, the second one, the third one, maybe a map that has all of the missionary journeys there. You finally get to use those maps after all these years. Aren't you happy? Here's what I want you to do. Somewhere on that line, or somewhere on that map of Paul's missionary journeys, I want you to find Jerusalem. It'll be right there on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. And some of you guys can ask your wives where that is. Find Jerusalem, if you would. Then I want you to look straight north, and I want you to find Antioch. Do you see Antioch? Do you see Jerusalem? Shake your head so I can hear your brain rattle tonight. Here's what I want you to do, if you don't mind. I want you to draw a line from Jerusalem to Antioch. By the time you get to Acts chapter 13, that's as far as the gospel had made it. And if your map visualizes this, and I hope it does on those missionary journeys, Paul in his lifetime is going to reach the entire region around the Mediterranean Sea. But only because Paul was willing to leave and the church was willing to send. Let's imagine for a moment that Paul's making good money making tents in Antioch, that he doesn't want to go. Or let's imagine that the church at Antioch didn't have sending two of their best leaders as their church growth strategy and they decided to keep them there. You know what would have happened? Look at that map. There'd be no church in Iconium. There'd be no church in Lystra. There'd be no church in Derbe. What about that second missionary journey? Paul would have never gone on that one either. There'd be no church in Ephesus, no church in Philippi, no church in Berea, no church in Corinth, no church in Thessalonica. Perhaps all of those people would have died and gone to hell. And perhaps if Paul doesn't go there, we never get the book of Philippians. We never get the book of Ephesians. We never get the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, not to mention Galatians and the letters to the Thessalonians. But because they were willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, because they were willing to hazard their lives, and because they preached the gospel and planted churches where the gospel had never been, hundreds and thousands of people came to Christ in all of those places. God's plan, here it is for churches like the church at Antioch and churches like Worth Baptist Church to send their best so they can plant churches where there is no church. That's the plan. And the plan will only succeed as churches are obedient in sending. The plan is that we would send our best to plant churches in cities where there is no church. For the gospel to spread, churches must send. So stay with me here for just a moment. Are there cities in our day that need the gospel just as desperately as Iconium and Thessalonica and Ephesus and Galatia did? I want to show you some things today. We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And we think about the DFW Metroplex that surely everyone passes four good independent Baptist churches on their way to work every morning. Did you know that's not true? How about Frisco, Texas? You've heard of Frisco, Texas. They have a population of 163,000 people, one of the fastest growing cities in our Metroplex, and I could find only one independent Baptist church. Now, there may be more than that, but that's all that I could find after doing some extensive looking on the internet for it and checking some independent Baptist directories. Can you imagine 163,000 people with one independent Baptist church? Now, that's not to say there aren't gospel-preaching churches in Frisco. Sure, there are. Sure, there are places where people can go in and hear the gospel. But how many of you believe that people in cities right around our church ought to have the right to attend a great church like Worth Baptist Church? I believe that. How about Dallas? 1.3 million people. And all of us on this side of the Metroplex sometimes aren't too crazy about folks on the other side of the Metroplex. I understand that. But during my research, I found one independent Baptist church. And I didn't even know it. In my 10 years here at Worth Baptist Church, I have never fellowshiped with a church in Dallas. Can you imagine that? And could it be that the reason they're having so many problems in Dallas is that so many churches have abandoned them there? Now, there are good gospel preaching churches in Dallas. I know that. But can you imagine looking online for hours and only finding one independent Baptist church in Dallas, Texas? Are you kidding me? How about Plano, Texas? 286,000 people. I found one independent Baptist church. Let's talk about some cities that aren't so close to the Metroplex, because this is really hurting, isn't it? Let's talk about Portland, Oregon. Almost 700,000 people live in Portland, Oregon. I found four independent Baptist churches. How about Los Angeles, California? 3.96 million people, and I found five independent Baptist churches. Dr. Paul Chappell says there's only three. I'm trying to be generous here and given them five because of what I found online. How about San Francisco, California, and Oakland, California, really a large metropolitan area? Those cities are called the most unchurched cities in America. One website that categorizes fundamental churches said that there were no independent Baptist churches in either city. Now, that can't be true. Surely there's at least one church there, but I looked and couldn't find them. 1.2 million people, and I couldn't even find one independent Baptist church. And that's not even to talk about tonight the great needs in cities around the world. This is just in America, a reached place. Think about cities like Tokyo, Japan, New Delhi, India, Dubai, Cairo, Egypt, Khartoum, Sudan, Beijing, China. And the list could go on and on and on and on. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we cannot just sit around. This is why we can't settle into maintenance mode. This is why we can't just get comfortable just because there are a few more people attending our church on Sunday morning. We've got a few more people in the parking lot, or our faith promise offering went up a little. This is why we need Open House Sunday. This is why we take short-term mission trips. This is why we disciple and we develop leaders. This is why we give to missions. And this is why we call our young people and our young couples and our retirees not to waste their lives, but to give their lives for the spread of the gospel and the sake of the mission. We can't just sustain our gains. We can't move into maintenance mode. We've got to sacrifice. We've got to move forward. There's a world still waiting to hear, and our church needs to send laborers to get them there. So let me tell you tonight, we cannot measure our success by our seating capacity. We must measure our success by our sending capacity. Reaching and growing precedes sending. So this week, let's reach and grow so we could send. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if they were having a big Sunday at their church or not, but some Sunday school teacher got real concerned about a young man in his Sunday school class. Went to the place where he worked, a shoe store, and led D.L. Moody to Christ. Did Edward Kimball know that D.L. Moody was going to shake two continents for Christ? He didn't know that. He just reached someone. He just grew them, and God sent him. Desperation for the spread of the gospel precedes sending. Prayer and fasting precedes sending. This is why I ask you to pray for days like next Sunday, because prayer will be the way it gets done. Listening to the Holy Spirit precedes sending. The church at Antioch changed the world because they were a sending church. And let's open up our eyes to the vision that God has for our church and ask Him to make us sending Christians and a sending church. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father in heaven, the world is lost. We have the best news, the gospel of God that is powerful into salvation to all who will believe, but it's stuck in cities like ours because churches won't send. Father, is there some person here tonight that your Holy Spirit is speaking to? Some person who needs to listen to your voice? Some person that would say, I won't stay where it's comfortable. I won't stay where my roots are. I'll do just like Paul and Barnabas did. I'll sacrifice my life so people in the next city could hear the gospel. Father, would you give our church a burden for the lost? And a burden for your mission? Do a deep work in all our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.